Welcome to this introduction to House of Games based on the screenplay by David Mamet, story by David Mamet and Jonathan Katz, stage version by Richard Bean, directed by Jonathan Kent. The audio described performance at Hampstead Theatre is on Saturday the 8th of June. There's a touch tour at 12:45. The introductory notes will start in the auditorium at 2:15 and the performance at 2:30 p.m. The performance runs for approximately 1 hour and 45 minutes without interval, and the live audio description will be given by Miranda Yates. Information on Hampstead's website tells us, celebrated psychoanalyst and author Dr. Margaret Ford has a new client. Billy needs help. He's addicted to sex, drugs, and most dangerously, gambling big money at an illicit poker lounge, the House of Games. Dr. Ford also happens to be in search of subject matter for her next bestseller, a search which takes her deep into Chicago's underworld and into the path of Mike, a charismatic gambler. A complex game commences in which even the players themselves don't know the rules, their roles, or who will be left holding the trump card. Please note, this production contains depictions of violence, gambling and guns, use of strong language, and discussions of drug use and sex. There's also use of herbal cigarettes and one loud gunshot. The story unfolds in America, in Chicago, around 2008, in two locations. Each is on a different level, with a seedy basement bar, the House of Games, occupying the lower level, and Dr. Ford's brightly lit office on the level above. There are 8 actors, 6 male and 2 female. Dr. Margaret Ford is a white woman in her early 40s, of average height, with a trim physique. Her blonde hair is cut into a neat bob, and she wears subtle makeup. When we first meet her, she has a contained professional air and wears a fitted calf-length skirt with a short split at the front that's fastened at the waist by a slim matching leather belt. She wears this with a white silk blouse and sandy-toned wedge shoes. Later, when out of the office, she throws on a dark navy blazer and carries a small cream handbag. As the story unfolds, she takes on a more relaxed look and energy, wearing a pair of mid-blue Levi jeans and adding a pale grey waistcoat over her blouse. Initially, Margaret holds herself with a controlled formality, and as events unfold, her posture softens. Billy Hahn is white and in his early 20s, tall and slim with a scruffy appearance. His brown hair is cut short and messy, and he has a stubbly jaw. He wears a pair of camouflage cargo pants with scuffed skater shoes and a washed-out long-sleeve maroon top with ragged cuffs, worn with a faded grey t-shirt over it. He also wears a short necklace of brown and turquoise beads. We meet Billy in a session as a client in the confines of Margaret's office. He has a restless energy and often fidgets or paces. Kathleen, Margaret's secretary, is a plump white woman of about 60 years of age. Her blonde hair is cut short and she wears a smart mid-grey skirt suit with a white blouse and low heels. Kathleen has a grounded energy, unfazed and dependable. Mike is white and aged around his late 40s. He has a strong build, thick, short-cut greying hair, and a neat-trimmed grey-white beard. He wears a smart tailored black suit with a faint pinstripe. Underneath the jacket is a long-sleeved black top with a short zip at the collar. His shoes are beige loafers. Mike exudes calm control and is charming, but with a simmering edge. Bobby, a Hell's Angel, is in his 50s with a pale olive complexion, a sturdy muscular frame, and lumbering gait. His graying brown hair falls to the top of his shoulders, with the top section tied back. He wears a denim shirt with cut-off sleeves rolled up over his muscular biceps, with a black t-shirt underneath and a black leather waistcoat over the top. His arms are covered by several tattoos, including a large snake and a skull wearing a biker's helmet decorated by the US Stars and Stripes. Bobby also wears filthy oil-stained jeans and biker boots and has a thick leather cuff strapped to one wrist and a thin leather band on the other with a set of metal dog tags on a chain around his neck. George is in his mid-40s, a burly white man with a ruddy complexion and thick-set middle. He has a jowly face and his thick mutton-chop whiskers hint at a somewhat flamboyant nature. At first he wears a blue, black and yellow Hawaiian-style shirt with short sleeves and jeans. His yellow baseball cap is worn backwards, with his pale-framed glasses perched on top. George also has a number of fabric wristbands. Later, he changes into a plaid lumberjack-style shirt, removing his baseball cap and glasses. Joey is the oldest in the group, a white man in his mid-70s, with neatly combed grey hair and metal-framed glasses. He's of average height and solid build, with the air of an elder statesman, and dressed smartly in a dark suit jacket, with white hanky in the breast pocket, over white shirt and maroon patterned bow tie. His cream trousers are pressed and worn with polished black leather lace-ups. Trudy is in her late 30s, tall and slim with a pale complexion. Her makeup is well applied, with defined brows and muted rose-pink lipstick, and her blonde shoulder-length hair is coiffed into perfect waves. When we first meet her, she looks every bit the sophisticated banking executive in a maroon power suit with a contrasting turquoise silk blouse and high heels. Later, Trudy removes the jacket and swaps her heels for trainers. PJ is in his early 40s and has light brown skin and a muscular athletic physique. His afro hair is cut into a high-top fade, and he has a neat moustache. He wears a plain tailored black suit, with a white shirt fastened by a lemon-yellow tie patterned by tiny spots. Later, more casually, his white short-sleeve shirt is worn undone, revealing his white t-shirt underneath. The large basement bar has a seedy and grubby appearance. It's about 12 metres wide and 6 metres deep. The walls angle in slightly, so that the back of the space is a little narrower, at about 8 metres. The floor's covered by well-worn wooden boards that run front to back, and the plastered walls are a grimy dark grey and heavily smoke-stained. At the back of the space, at head height, is a narrow basement window that looks directly out onto the street, with a metal grille on the street side. It's a couple of metres wide, and tall enough to allow a glimpse of the lower legs of those approaching and leaving the bar. In the window, facing the street, is a red neon sign that says House of Games. The door into the bar from the street is a couple of metres to the left of the window, and fronted by another metal grille that's just visible when the door's opened. A short set of steps doglegs down from the left to a doorframe that faces us at floor level. At the bottom of the steps, to the left, is the door into a ladies' washroom. A couple of metres further forward on the same side is a large doorway with a sliding door, through which is the bar's pool and TV room. A couple of metres in front of this doorway is a round poker table, covered by a circular green base cloth just big enough for the tabletop, and the table surrounded by half a dozen or so bent wood chairs. The right side wall has two further doors, one towards the back, which opens onto a set of stairs that leads up to an unseen apartment. The other door's a few metres further forwards and leads to the men's washroom. In between these two doors, a dim light spills down onto three narrow shelves that contain various liquor bottles. Parallel to the wall, about a metre in front of the shelves, is a wood-panelled bar, about 3 metres long, painted a dull gunmetal grey, with a worn and scuffed surface. Margaret's office on the level above has a bright and clean utilitarian feel, devoid of distracting personal touches. The office is about 6 metres wide and a couple of metres deep, with the door into the office on the far left. The upper half of the door is a pane of opaque glass. On the reverse side of the glass, at the top, letters spell out Dr. Margaret Ford. Just inside of the door in the back wall is a short row of coat hooks. In the centre of the back wall, daylight spills in through a large window about 3 metres wide and a metre in height, and covered by white Venetian blinds. There's a desk just in front of the window, with a seat so that the person sitting behind the desk faces us. On the desk in the centre is a laptop and an intercom. Attached to the laptop is a headset with a microphone. There's also a small alarm clock, and on the left side of the desk is a neat white lamp. The right side wall of the office is taken up by pale wooden bookshelves, with cupboards underneath. Some of the shelves are filled by neat rows of books, while others display framed certificates. The only other items in the office are two chairs, a leather swivel chair for clients to the right of the desk, and a simple pale wooden armchair with a black padded seat and backrest. Cast and production credits. Dr. Margaret Ford is played by Lisa Dillon. Billy Hahn is played by Oscar Lloyd. Kathleen is played by Joanna Brooks. Mike is played by Richard Harrington. Bobby is played by Andrew Whipp. George is played by Sion Tudor Owen. Joey is played by Robin Soans. Trudy is played by Kelly Price. And PJ is played by Lawrence Ubong Williams. The screenplay is by David Mamet. The story by David Mamet and Jonathan Katz, with a stage version written by Richard Bean. The director is Jonathan Kent. The designer is Ashley Martin Davis. The lighting designer is Peter Mumford. The sound designer is Paul Gruthius. The dialect coach is Carter Bellamy. This is the end of the introduction to House of Games at Hampstead Theatre. If you have any questions or need further assistance, please contact the Hampstead box office on 020 7722 9301.